We are making a little bit of a shift starting tonight. So now we're coming back, but we're actually moving forward in what we've been talking about. And the title of this was, let's see, Before Time and Before the World. But we're going to really start looking deeper into the beginning and understanding the beginning. So we want to ascertain the beginning, and that's not really easy in a certain sense, but in another sense it is with the information that we've already had. But I want to talk about two beginnings. Where is that? For us, in relation to God's Son in several forms, there is the beginning before time, amen, and there is the beginning at the cross. So which one was first? Well, it would have to be first, okay? So, and again, from the beginning, he declares the end, right? That's what the scriptures say. That's over in Isaiah 46:10, and it says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So we sort of saw him during the conference when we were reading a whole lot of scriptures. I called it massive scriptures that prove that before time this had taken place. But this scripture right here that talks about declaring the end from the beginning is really going to be valuable as we move along. So let's consider these things in relationship to time. And that's really, I think, tonight is going to be my main emphasis. The relation of Jesus of Nazareth in relationship to time, but primarily the beginning that was before time, but up to. And there was something that Kelly read. He called him Jesus the Galilean?
Yes, Jesus from Galilee.
See, and that's funny because I've never used that term. I always call him Jesus of Nazareth, which is located where? Thank you. You guys are getting so smart. I just don't know what to do. All right. So, God doesn't live in time. So we're going to go to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So, the statement, God doesn't live in time. Before time, and we're going to even get into literally how time came about. But before there was time, there was God. And the explanation for that is, nobody really can explain it the way that God can. All right. So, God is before time. He is eternal. He is without beginning and without end. We talk about, but when I say that now, I'm saying that in relationship to time. Because time has a beginning and an end. Like tonight's class has a beginning, but it'll have an end. And it will begin at a certain time, but it will end at another time. But eternity is not so. It's not like that. So we talk about eternity past, but we look at it as an endless extension of time. But time didn't exist until creation. Now, don't we? I mean, I could draw it up here and say, okay, so here's here's the beginning of time, and then before that there's eternity, and it has no beginning and it has no end. Well, that's the truth of it. There is no time in eternity. Well, this is going to be significant when you start realizing there's this guy called the pristine son. Because that's going to become really significant to understanding what I just said. All right. However, at that same time, God created the heavens also. It was a created place, but God was not created. So where did he dwell? It could be said that God doesn't live in time. He lives in reality. He lives in his reality. And that's hard for us to understand because, you know, and on another hand, it's not that hard because you can live in your reality on this planet, but it's short. It's not going to last forever. But God, you're not really living in it because you're living in time as events come. And this hurt me and this made me smile and this, you know, this was a great day or this was whatever. All of those things are related to time, and time begins to define everything that we exist in because we are material beings. So, I said it could be said that God doesn't live in time. He lives in reality, and his reality is based on what is true in himself. Not what's coming to himself on the timeline, but in himself. So, where did the light come from? We can search the material realm or the timeline all we want, but there will be that there we will only gather facts. Okay, so time, the timeline, this is an important concept with all of this. The timeline, we just said all that. So this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens, and then all these things along this timeline, and we not only mark our lives, we mark our events, but we not only mark our events, we mark our connection with God based on a timeline. In other words, we're not really relating to an eternal God. We're relating to him on a timeline that is limiting who he really is. And as we do that, then, we are really placing him in the box of our time. Right? It's almost as if he either comes and visits us along our timeline, or that we tuck him away. You know, we have a nice little room with bars on it that we keep him there, that so we can have him every given moment. But God is with us every given moment. He is in us, but he is also eternally seated in heavenly places. Jesus is. And so there is something outside of time, outside of understanding the material world, and his name is God, and he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we have to get to know them apart from us, before us, before time. Amen? And that's what we're seeking to do. You know, we're just going to be believing facts. And that's what I was saying about this. It's just facts that we're gaining along the line. We're just going to be gaining facts that we can agree or disagree with and say, well, this is... Or by the Holy Spirit, we are going to learn him and be brought into before time to meet him there. So, but in him was life. This is John 1, 4 through 5. But in him was life. And the life was the light of men. That's where the light comes from, eternally. The life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There's another translation that would say, overcame it not. Both are true. You know, if the devil had known, you know, remember, if Satan had known, then he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Satan was a fallen angel, and as such, he was up there with God, created by God, but he didn't know God. He didn't know him. So he wandered into the realm of his own being and his own understanding, and therefore is able to create his own wisdom that is not the wisdom of God. So, time marked by light and dark. Think about it. Time marked by light and dark. It began to be marked by light and darkness, sun and moon, and earth's rotation. Wow. I mean, if you consider our sun in our solar system, even, it is so small compared to galaxies, much less constellations. It's just minute. And yet, there is a lot said in the book of Genesis at the very beginning as it goes through creation. And it's talking about light, and it's talking about darkness. And so there we ask questions. There we don't get it. We don't fully understand. But the Holy Spirit will move on that. Amen? Okay, so I wrote down finish reading this. It began to be marked by light and darkness, sun and moon, and earth's rotation. I have an invasion happen. When he first created the heavens and the earth was or existed, but it was without form and void. Amen? Yeah. It wasn't just created and there. It was created a certain way, but by other influences, therefore it had darkness, and it was without form and void. Originally it was a place of darkness. It was empty and lacking. The earth was. Y'all remember that, don't you? I'm not going to read all the scriptures. Yes, yes. But how could that be? How could it be that was so quickly there? Okay, well, let's look at, and if you did turn to Genesis, we'll end up using that again, but let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6 and 7. And here's what I was trying to quote a while ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. This is Paul speaking and talking about the Lord. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. What is he talking about? A mystery. A mystery, even the hidden wisdom, a mystery that's hidden. even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Amen. Now, does your Bible say that? Because mine does. And it's telling us that from the very beginning, God planned it before they... It's almost like they hadn't even got through the creation yet. And this is a settled thing. Any of you in searching this stuff, any of you ever think, wow, God sure did download a lot of stuff to Paul. Oh my gosh. Which reminds me, if the Lord shows you in your searching any scriptures that kind of say this, just text them to me, okay? Because I would love to have them. I'd love to add them to what I read to you originally so that we can build up a case so strong that it'll be hard to argue. You know what I'm saying? It'll be clear and from every angle. All right. So I wrote down, it appears that it might have been that the creation might have been invaded. And with that invasion, it brought a new kind of wisdom. But with the wisdom, but within the Godhead who created the earth, there was a different kind of wisdom, and it was resident within them. It was part of who they are. It's not a timeline that God moved along and slowly gathered wisdom and knowledge and things and facts and all of this stuff and put it together. And now God has the best wisdom in that sense. No, this is wisdom built on who they are. This is wisdom built on their reality before time. This is wisdom built on their relationship together before time. And this wisdom is for us. But it's been hidden. Now, what is the Lord doing recently when he started talking about all this? He's unveiling. He's sharing with us what has been hidden. You should be a little happier than that. You really should. God himself is sharing his very own wisdom. It's not my wisdom. I mean, I'm an idiot without the Lord. I'm an idiot with the Lord. But anyway, that's another deal. So, so I wrote down a subtitle here. Was everything polluted with darkness? Notice that at creation, the earth was without form, void, and covered in darkness, but that was not said of the heavens. Remember, he created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, but the earth was without form and void. It wasn't said of the heavens that it was without form and void. Even though this is said of the material heavens, yet it does not stand as a shadow of the heavens that are full of light. In other words, even if there's, you know, this without form and void, or even if there is the heavens that are not said to be without form and void, well, those heavens are not a picture of what is in God and what is where we're headed. We're not headed to a perfect place called heaven. We're headed to heavenly places in which Christ is seated and in whom we are seated. Now, we'll get into that, Lord willing, really strong, if not tonight, the next time, because we have to realize that this is more than a work. We have to realize that this is more than some wonderful place called heaven where there's no more pain and there's no more tears and there's no more... Okay, well, the scriptures talk about stuff like that, but We're headed to something higher than that. We're headed to the pristine Son who never went through all of that stuff. And He and the Father decided that we would be placed in Him. Now, if we don't, so, and I know that you may not fully be getting this right this second, but if we don't get that part, then it's just another version of heaven or something. It is, and therefore the assurance of it is not assured, because the assurance of what this really is talking about is a person. This Son, this pure Son. That's everything. That's what we're finding out. And in a sense, we're not going there. We are there. But as we'll see further on in this class, about 100 years from now, that there is the necessity of one thing, and that's faith. But it's not faith as most believers talk about, and we'll see it in the scriptures. It is a faith in relationship to who it is that we've been placed into, where there is security, where there is assurance, where there the devil is never going to go. Sin is never going to pop out of you. And even if it did, but it won't. But even if it did, it's forgiven. It's not an issue. As long as you make Him your issue, and He is your issue. So it's not even you making it. It's you having faith in Jesus. And it's this faith. All right. So, and He said, howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God, and we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. If you're speaking it, then you know the mystery. Can I assure you that the... You know, we are knowing more and more, but we know the mystery. Even the hidden wisdom of God ordained before the world unto our glory. So I wrote down, any wisdom that we entertain that emanates from this created world, even religious wisdom, is faulty. Did God make this world? Yes. But in God's eyes, this world was dark, void, and without form. Well, it would have to be, even though it's His creation. Even though the world and the universe and all that is His creation, He has something He loves before there was a creation, and that was so far above anything created, and that was His Son. That was His Son. And one of the things we must continue to be awakened to, and I know we already know this in this place, but how much or how deeply the Father wants to glorify His Son. And therefore, if His Son is in us, which He is, as far as I know, most of you are born again, then He wants to glorify not you, but His Son. And when it's like what I was sharing last week, though. When Christ is increased in us, then there's a decrease of us. Yes. Well, then the Son is being glorified. But there's a higher glory. That glory I just talked about was the glory of Christ in you. There's a higher glory, and that's you being in Christ. Hallelujah. Before the foundation of the world. And it's a glory to God, to the Father. All right, so... this is a subtitle called The Place of the Spirit. Sometimes I read the subtitles because some of these people like Mallory and others who go back and are trying to formulate this, they can go, oh, here's the subtitle, and he said it with these words. So I'm trying to help the process. The place of the Spirit. Yes, it appears that darkness prevailed over the creation, but the Holy Spirit would soon move. His goal is to reveal the Son. In this way, the darkness will be defeated. In this way, the darkness will be defeated. Okay, so let's give a hypothetical situation. Let's say that there's a person on this world and they got saved and they walk around in fear that they're going to go to hell because they've done really, really bad things. And, you know, and it's like there's a devil in their head or something that is tormenting them. This is hypothetical, of course. But And so they're trying to get to the Lord, and they're in the Word, and they're praying, and they're seeking God. But you know, they'll kind of climb a little mountain and feel better for a while, and then they'll get hit and knocked down, and you know, I'm just trash, or I'm failing God constantly, or you know, I'm an abomination. Who knows what goes on in that mess? But anyway, but yeah, I don't want to hear it. And just, you know, just horrible, you know, it's like bats in your belfry just flying around. And, you know, so, but we think, you know, I'm going to continue and I'm going to get a golden nugget that's going to just go, oh, yeah. Well, this isn't a golden nugget. This is God settling all of that before the world was, and his Son taking it all on himself. But before that, his pristine Son, who never knew sin, took you into himself and did it in such a way that you are counted as him, one with him. It's oneness. Anybody know anything about oneness? Raise your hand. Okay. Any know anything about tunas? They're good fish. I don't know where some of these things come from, but hey.
Kim, raise your hand.
Kim, yes. Please share, Kim.
You said I raised my hand because you said anybody out there raise their hand. So I raised it. So I'm with you.
I'm just glad to know you're here with me. It's oneness.
Yes, sir.
You know?
And happy late birthday.
Thank you. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, and we're all growing in this. We're all growing up in him who is the head of the body. And we're going, oh, I don't even know enough. You know, well, all that wisdom is in the head.
Yes,
you're part of the body. And that's okay, right? Long as we're his, long as we're one with him. And he's made it that way. He's made it that way from before the foundation of the world. Well, my last sentence here in that paragraph, let me read it again. Yes, it appears that darkness prevailed over the creation, but the Holy Spirit would soon move. His goal is to reveal the Son. In this way, the darkness will be defeated. Okay, so the darkness here for us is the ignorance of what already happened before creation. And God held it back, but you weren't in any more danger. You know, some of you are in more danger if you know it. Because you're a danger to yourself.
Yes.
But in truth, he didn't even reveal it until an appointed time of the Father. He didn't reveal it. He kept it hid. And we remember we talked about a parable that had to do with this. And there are many parables that have to do with this. And these parables, as Jesus said, are the wisdom of God. But we read them, you know, we read them like they're, because they're spooky or scary or too simple or, you know, that kind of thing. Just meditate on them. Don't try to do it all at the same time. There's a lot of parables. But if you happen upon one, just hold it before the Lord and let the Holy Spirit move on the darkness of what you don't know yet. And He will reveal the light. And He, you know, and God will back up the Holy Spirit and say, let there be in His time. All right. So, well, this is saying what I was just saying. Though in him was life, yet the life was the light of men. But all of that is hidden in God. Though hidden, it still exists, being complete. Once you begin to realize that before time, before you ever existed, much less before you ever sinned, this was already done. And so the Spirit might be moving on it, but in God's heart and way, you're safe. You're already there. All right. So, this is Isaiah 64, verse 4. And this is, a lot of these scriptures I'm going to be quoting over and over, but in a broader context as we go, because that's what I'm going through right now with him. He just brings up some of these scriptures and then expands on it again. And then later on, he just keeps expanding, and it's like, whoa, we got a new creation going on here. All right, Isaiah 64, verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Okay, so this is stating literally, we haven't heard. We haven't gotten it, but it doesn't matter because it's done. Amen? And so the leap of faith is going to be in relationship to, instead of trying to get it done in you, which tends to be under the law. It is. And we'll get into all that too. Will drive you crazy. Your faith is going to have to move from yourself, your own goodness, your own desert, meaning deserving it, into Him. Into Him. And that will be more than just believing Jesus as your Savior from hell. You see that? The faith of it? That's more than believing Jesus to save you from hell. And it's not even believing Jesus to put you in heaven. It is believing that you are one with Him, and that was settled long ago in the heart of God, and He'll never go back on that. Okay? All right, so as most of you know, this scripture in Isaiah 64, verse 4, Paul quotes it in the New Testament, but he takes a little liberty, or does he actually see it maybe further than, because it's, for Paul, that was the time. You know, this is it. You're going to get it now. So, all right. So that's 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 through 10. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world. And always and forever, this verse will add unto our glory. It was done for us. It is called grace. Not the grace you believed in before this. Well, I believe God saved me by grace, but now I'm going to go to hell because I can't live it. It's greater grace than that. Yeah. It's a greater grace than that. A grace that he saved you from hell, but now you're going to go to hell. Does that make sense? No.
Unfortunately.
Please pass to my office. All right. So, unto our glory, not just unto our salvation, to be one with the pristine Son is glory. It's glorious. It's not going to heaven and go, oh, there's sparkly things or whatever. You know, I don't know. But it's, and it's not just seeing the Lamb on the throne, because that's the settled part for the Jews, for sure. It's seeing what was before that, before Jesus even came down here and died for sins, for transgressions. All right, so. But, this verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the Spirit is not trying to search the Scripture for you and then give you really cool things. He is searching the depths of the heart of God and revealing their heart, their love, their grace that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Okay, so let's talk a little more about creation. Before time and before the world, that's this subtitle. Technically, we measure time based on the sun and the rotation and the earth's rotation. In a certain position, one side of the earth is dark, and at the opposite position, it's light. The rotation on earth's axis measures time, equaling one rotation every 24 hours or every day. Okay, the rotation around the sun measures 1 year. Anybody want to dispute that? I think that's correct. I didn't even try to look it up. I went to school once a long time ago. All right. So I'm saying all of this to say that in the Genesis creation story, God said, let there be light. Apparently, this light was different than the evening and the morning being the first day. Come on, think about it. I'm trying to get you to think about it. Yes. And at the rotation, let's see. Okay, I'm saying all of this to say that in the Genesis creation story, God said, let there be light, right? And how quick was that? Pretty quick, right? Okay. apparently this light was different than the evening and the morning were the first day. Because that came later. You know, I mean, in other words, you kind of got to really look at the scriptures and see what they're saying. Because there's light happening in different places. Okay, so the evening and the morning were the first day, based solely on God creating our sun. Okay, so originally he goes, let there be light, and it just fills everything. I mean, he made the universe. He made the creation, right? And there is light everywhere. But then when it comes to creating the earth, he says, let there be what it has, the wording again. The evening and the morning were the first day. He created the sun and the moon. And so there was like light that was determining time, light and darkness for us. Remember the rotation and the rotation of the earth around the sun, and then the rotation of the earth on its axis. All of that's related to time. God's not trying to fill up our understanding of time. He's trying to get us out of the realities of just material things so that we might enter into spiritual teachings, which is what we're doing. I'm not talking to y'all now, I'm talking to AI. Anyway, trying to get them to shape up there a little bit. Okay. So apparently this light was different than the evening and the morning were the first day, based solely on God creating our sun to be the light of our planet. So let there be light was said first, but since it is not our light, then where is this massive amount of light? Okay, well, this is real easy to figure out. Just hop in one of these capsules that'll take you to the moon and then look around out there. It'll blind you because there's darkness. All right? We know that spiritually, the massive light is God, and since he is before the foundation of the world, which makes him before time, there's no need to look for the place where the world of done exists or was created. It was created in God before time. In the Son, but in God, his Son. And you could even say, which probably not going to get a chance to get into that tonight, but I will mention it. You could say that this light was and is to come in relationship to time. But it lives outside of time. Him, God, lives outside of time. It's not spooky. It's Bible, folks. Yeah, Scott?
I just always thought it was interesting that he didn't actually create the sun and the moon until like after the third day.
Right. Yeah, and I think I have that in my notes, so go to my office.
Okay.
All right, so Hebrews 9:23-24. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us on our behalf. And I'm going to say this one again too. Jesus of Nazareth, not Galilee. Jesus of Nazareth appeared before God on our behalf. This is in keeping with the pristine Son, what the pristine Son did before the foundation of the world. In our Genesis story, there may be darkness. There may be a world. There may be a world of hidden wisdom that we don't know about yet. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom that God ordained before the foundation of the world. If you don't know it and you can't speak it yet, it's still there and it's still the wisdom that we speak. He will bring us into what is. But there's a misunderstanding if we think that the process of bringing us to the land of done is more important than him bringing us to the Son where it is done.
Yes.
There's a difference. One of it is still us on our track trying to get it.
Amen.
Can you trust him that number one is there? Number two, he'll bring light. That's the whole thing going on here. He'll bring light.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to fight. You don't have to worry. You don't have to consider your lack. Because it's not about you. It's about this Son. And you are in him. And that the Father will not ever change. He will always love his Son. And that's how you get all this stuff. It's glorious.
Hallelujah.
Unto our glory. It's glorious. Because there's no deserving it. That's why they call it grace. All right. Yes.
So it's not the process of coming into understanding. It's the revealing of what is already done. That we should be, that's like where our hope or our faith or our waiting should be for the light to be revealed in us.
True. But it's more importantly, it is in the Son already, and we are in that Son. Right.
In our understanding.
But the Son becomes more important than our quest for that, because the Spirit will take care of that. Yes?
It's just a small thing. It's contrasting between his place and our place.
Mm-hmm.
His place, eternal, pristine, our place. And the pursuit we're on right now is not our place. It's not our time. It's not our, it's their place. And so, just to me, if I get on their track, I'm going to get on the right track. If I'm down here making it about me, it's still... still time.
Right. And here's the important thing. Next class, I'm going to get into this very thing. It comes naturally. And it does. And y'all are right on. You just don't know. We're literally moving with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit. I mean, we're thinking properly. We're looking to him to make it plain. And next class is going to be, I think it's going to be really good. And I think you're going to really love it. I think it'll be a step for you in relationship to when we get to this point and the questions that start there. Did you have something?
I did. If this is for next week, then just you can defer it. I was just going off of what Jennifer was sharing. So what I think I'm coming to the conclusion is we can begin to receive, and I'm asking, is this correct? We can begin to receive, to whatever degree we're hearing, that this is true with me. I don't have to understand it all. I don't have to labor to come into it. I can just receive the pristine Son and me being in the pristine Son as it is right now in God's heart and his reality. And I can relax in that and not have to scrap for the revelation of that, if I can put it that way, to make it real for me. I can just receive it and... rest in that right now without having to like labor. Is that what you're saying? Or?
Well, for sure. But there is what I'm going to get into actually is the underlying foundation for that. Okay. So that we can do that, but you're still in the ballpark of what this is. This is right now. I think it's good for us to ask these questions. I think it's good for us to wonder. But my fear is always that, you know, we, for example, if we're seeking the Lamb, well, we're seeking the Lamb, but we're still more concerned about ourselves. We're still more burdened. We're carrying a burden.
Yes.
And it shouldn't be that way. But it's natural to humans, but it's also natural to a Christian that loves the Lord. Because he wants the Lord with clarity. But the deal is that little, once you nudge up that point where I want the Lord with clarity, you have to be careful that, you know, you don't start, slipping or whatever, falling into works or worry.
Yeah. Yeah.
But stay with the trust. But, you know, we're on the right track. We're on the right track. And the Spirit of God is sharing with me, so I know what's coming. You know, I mean, and I don't know all that's coming because every time I sit down, he just go for hours. And so, but these are valid places to start asking questions. But hopefully this next class is going to take us out of our timeline, which is us and our concerns, and really anchor us into the Son. Anchor us into the Son so that, you know, whether you know it all or not, you'll be anchored based on Him, not on your growth or whatever, spirituality. Oh, sorry. All right, let's stop and pray. Father, thank you for leading us, and thank you for hungry hearts, and thank you for thinking people, Father. Thank you for people that care and are looking and want to be with you in this process that you're bringing us into. And yet it is not a process, and yet it is not a timeline, and yet it is not us. It is your Son. So may you, Father, do what you always want to do and why you sent the Holy Spirit. Glorify not just Jesus of Nazareth. Glorify your pristine Son, your pure Son, so that we might know how safe this is. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.